Please turn in your Bibles to 1 John. We're spending most of our time in 1 John chapter 2. It's definitely a joy to be back here. Seems like it's been a while since I've been here, but it is a joy just to come and be with friends and family, especially in the times that we live. Amen. I'd like to share a little thought with you. When I travel and I go to different assemblies, I go to listen to better qualified men than me. So it's a real privilege to share from the Word of God and to share the thoughts the Lord has given me. Just a quick background. I just want to say a few thoughts about this morning's Lord's Supper. How precious it was, and it really meant a lot to me. What our brother said about one sin, right? One sin, the Lord set out. And then our brother shared in Psalms 130, if you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Who could stand? What a gracious God we have. What a loving God we have when you think that he has forgiven us. But with you, there is forgiveness. There is forgiveness in our Heavenly Father. And that was all because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our brother, we just sang a song. And Jesus, the sweetest name I know. He fills my every longing. I want to challenge us on that. He fills our every longing. It's sweet to sing. It's sweet to say it in an intellectual kind of way. But does he fill every longing that there's a response? That there's a response in worship? There's a response in praise? But I challenge myself, is there a response in me for the longing world to know a heavenly loving Father? Is there a response in me to share the love of Christ, to share God's love to them? I think that's where the challenge is. So I want us to think about 1 John chapter 2, the secret of intimacy and fellowship in Christ. It is a joy to be 2021, amen? But let me tell you in my own reflection, 2020 was a great year for me. 2020 was a great year to me because, count it all joy, brethren, right? When you go through trials and tribulations, so that we grow closer to the Lord and we really examine where we are with the Lord. These thoughts today is a challenge of our intimacy, fellowship with our Heavenly Father, and also how it's challenged us to love more in our lives. You think about it, we sit here with masks on, right? We sit here, our brothers are wearing gloves. What a different world we live in, but should it move us as believers? Should it misdirect us or change our direction in our calling and our challenge in our walk with Christ and also in sharing the gospel? Those are just a few thoughts I want to share with you, because in 2020, even though I call it a great year, it was a very challenging year because of as an elder, as a father, as a husband, you know, it's very challenging when everything you're trying to manage in life and things are going on its path, the Lord says, this is going to be different for you, and you're going to change, but I'm going to challenge you to change and to walk closer with me, to depend on me, to have more faithfulness on me, so that I will strengthen you, I will comfort you, I will give you everlasting peace, and you're going to know it in the way that song said, right? It will fill my every longing. So challenge yourself right now. Do you feel shaken? Do you still feel uneasy? And if you do, in our study today, I asked you, where are you with the Lord? Where is your abiding in the vine? Where is your joy and fellowship in Christ? Let's read these verses. I'm going to be in 1 John chapter 2, and just to challenge you with a few thoughts here. 1 John chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, he is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Verse 7. Beloved, I'm writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word that you have heard. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light and in him. There is no cause for stumbling, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to pause in this world that we live, Lord, that we can worship you, we can praise you, we could study your precious word, Lord, and we can examine where we are with you and be challenged to know your truth and to apply it to our lives so that we bring glory, we bring magnification to your name, Lord, and not to our lives. We thank you, Lord, for the work that you're doing, Lord, and may you, by your Spirit, lead our thoughts, guide our understanding, Lord, and may we, again, glorify you. We thank you, Lord, in your precious Son's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 John chapter 2, the secret of intimacy and fellowship in Christ. You know, there's a few verses I want to just cover real quick in chapter 1 that gives us a setting by which to understand this letter. In chapter 1, read 3 and 4, says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship. Keep that word in mind, fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. Verse 4, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. There's an understanding here that there's a understanding of the Father and the walk of faith. And the genuineness of our faith can be seen in our fellowship with the Father, our joy with the Father, but also the fellowship and joy that comes out of that with others. So that's the understanding that comes out of here. And it comes with a really understanding of how intimate are we with the Father and how is that displayed in our walk. Fellowship and joy. So that you may too have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. Look at verse 7 and 8. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And the truth is not in us. Fellowship. This has been a challenge this past year, and it's a challenge at least our assembly faces when we have meeting in person and Zoom. We've had to rethink as elders and deacons, how do we do this? How do we challenge ourselves to be one with another, understand, study the scriptures, grow in our walk of faith, but also how do we do our ministry? How do we do all these things? And the thing that I've come to, as I've had more time at home, I'm an IT analyst. My wife is working from home. My kids are virtual learning, as many of you are all doing. You know, when you're in close proximity, you really do things different. And I've been challenged more to, all right, how do I display my love for Christ? And how do I teach and show my love for Christ to those that I love the most? And I the challenge have been for me a lot is the assembly life. But you know where it starts? It starts where the letter starts is our fellowship with Christ. Fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus, his son, and cleanses us from all sin. You know, in these verses, we're really challenged to think about where we are with the Lord. Because in our abiding with the Father, and our abiding in the vine, right? The fruits come from that. Where are we with God? Where are you with the Lord? That can be challenging at times when things are going crazy around us in the world. You think about, and you guys probably already examined this, but racial protests, rioting, election like we've never seen it before, and the craziness at the Capitol. When the storms of life are going by, how do we remain in the anchor of our soul, the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, there's an abiding there, right? There's a true abiding and walking. I want us to discuss that in our time together. Verse 1 through 6, I want us to challenge. Let me read this real quick to you. First, fellowship. The fact and experience of Christian fellowship only exists because God the Father, through Jesus Christ the Son, and by the Spirit, has established in grace a relation, a new covenant with humankind. Those who believe the gospel of the resurrection are united in the Spirit through the Son to the Father. The relation leads to the reality of relatedness, and thus to an experienced relationship, a communion between man and God. And those who are thus in Christ are in communion not only with Jesus Christ and the Father and the Spirit, but also with one another. This is relatedness. This is relationship. This is a communion. This understanding of communion is fellowship. When I mention intimacy, just the definition is showing a close union or combination of particles or elements, an intimate mixture. Our faith is an intimate a mixture with the Heavenly Father in the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit. Being intimate involves the mixing of our life with another's, a mingling of souls, a sharing of hearts. This is something we all long for because it is how God made us. We were designed to connect. If there's ever been an attack now on the church, is it not now? When we're separated? When we are quarantining? And I'm not saying this is all bad. I think we're taking the right precautions. But aren't we challenged more than ever in our fellowship and our abiding with Christ and with one another? Where are you, brethren? Where are you with the Lord? Where are you with one another? Abide. Definition of abide is to remain stable or fixed in a state, to bear patiently, to accept without objection, to stay or live somewhere. Abiding in Christ. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, "My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." What's the understanding there? You see here, he's talking about walking in the light, walking separate from the darkness, walking in the light, and we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Walking in the light means to be sincere and honest with God. Sincere and honest with God in our life of faith. How'd you do in 2020? Sometimes that was difficult. But in 2021, what an opportunity we have to change, right? You know, many people don't think about New Year's resolutions. I kind of give those things up. I just keep going, right? I keep challenging myself. Abiding, walking in the light means to be sincere and honest with God, ourselves, and with others. My little children, it's a talk here of either he's talking to baby Christians and warning them, or there's a reward as we walk in faith and live and experience the blessings of God. But as mature Christians, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. An advocate, one who stands for us, one that has stood for us in our place, the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it say in verse 2? He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Propitiation, the sacrifice for our sins, the one that has done it all, stood in my stead. You know, as our brother was sharing that verse, I just love that verse in Psalms 130 as he was sharing this morning. Sorry, let me go back to it. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? Who could stand? Just one sin out of the garden, right? What a loving Heavenly Father we had that shared his most precious gift, his Son. You know, I don't know. I was thinking about a dam, a mighty dam, right? You think about all the pressures of a dam. And you relate it to our Heavenly Father's wrath being poured in the forces on a wall of a dam. And it could break at any moment. God could, we were condemned. We were damned and separated as foreigners from God. And you think about what Christ did for us. Not only did he pay in full, but he broke the dam, right? The waters of abundant love and grace and mercy was poured out for the sins of the whole world. It's just not like it was just like a counting of grace and sin, grace and sin. It was infinite love, infinite grace was poured out to us. And that's how we understand what he says here. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. What does he say in verse 9 of chapter 1? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Abundant love, abundant grace, our Father gave us, poured it out through our Lord Jesus Christ. An advocate before the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, lives to make intercession for us. Do we understand that in a way that brings us to our knees in humility of what God has done for us? The love of the Father. See, there's an understanding here. He says, enjoy in fellowship. I want you to think about this as you come to break bread, as you come as often as you can, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. You know, many believers don't understand why we gather. They want an emotional experience where they can get an emotional high. We come to give praise of what our Heavenly Father has done for us. That's the joy of it. We come to give, we come to account glory unto his name. What a precious thought. When we're abiding in Christ in the intimacy of our faith, you know, the Father, I have a picture of the Father smiling, his children, are walking in loving obedience and they understand. They understand what it all means. You know, it's like when you think about your children, you think about, you know, you could have a very legalistic parental mindset, right? The do's and don'ts. Hey, son, hey, daughter, you need to do this, X, Y, and Z. But when they understand the love of their parents, they lovingly obey. They lovingly say, yes, father, yes, mother, right? And what do we do as parents? We smile. And I know that's a bad illustration maybe, but think about the father. Think about the father. When we're abiding in Christ and we come here with hearts full of gratitude, full of love. Heavenly Father, you have done it all. Heavenly Father, I understand the propitiation for my sins. And not just for my sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Heavenly Father, thank you. That's the closeness of abiding. That's the closeness of intimacy. I love what it says here in verse, looking at further down here, verse 3. And by this, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, he is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are all in him. And whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. In which he walked. So when we have this closeness, this abiding with Christ, we lovingly obey his divine will and we imitate, right? We imitate the pattern. What does it say? Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. What did Jesus Christ do? Not only did he come here, he stepped down from heaven. Not only did he walk on this earth, not only did he pay for the sins of the world, sacrificed his life for you and I, but he gave us a pattern by which to lovingly obey and follow his will. You see the check? The check of true Christian love. The abiding is how we live. And how? In joy and fellowship that he mentions in chapter 1. That's the check of true Christian love. My time is going here, so I'm just going to speed up a little. He brings in the walking in the light, meaning to walk not by imitation necessarily, but by the incarnation of the Spirit in our lives. Walking in the Spirit. Walking in loving obedience to his divine will versus the compulsion, the legalistic compulsion and decision-making. Is this right? Is this wrong? Or is this a ritual? Or is this traditional? Is this the way we have? No. That's not what I'm talking about. He says, walking in the light, abiding in Christ, walking in the light, is walking in loving obedience to his divine will. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. Very familiar portion. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians, we just started a study on Galatians. The Judaizers were trying to bring back legalism. They were trying to bring them back to the old ways. And Paul is saying, why go back to slavery? Why go back to bondage? I say, walk by the Spirit, a new and living way, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. Abiding in Christ, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, you live and walk by the Spirit. Walking in the light. Verse 20 of Galatians 5. I'm sorry, not 20. Galatians Oh, yeah, that's right. Sorry. I'm going to continue on verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident. Sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, revelries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit, very familiar verse, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. In the craziness of what's happened in these past days and in this past year, are we guilty of these things? If we are guilty of these things, if we watch too much TV, if we were on Facebook too much, if we were watching garbage and our emotions were getting riled up, we are guilty of not walking in the Spirit. God has done it all, and he's asking us, what does it say? But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. First John is talking about this in the same way. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he loved. The test of true Christian love, verse 7 through 11, he gives us an understanding here of if we have abided in Christ, if we are fellowshipping in Christ, how does it show forth in the new commandment, in this new understanding? This is the understanding of actions versus just words, right? And actions out of the love of Christ, out of what we understand in Christ, how we're walking in faith, how does it display? I want to read verse 7 through 11 in 1 John chapter 2. Beloved, I am writing you no new commandment, but an old commandment that you had from the beginning. The old commandment is that the word that you have heard, at the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness, and does not know where he is going. But the darkness, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Let me share a somewhat personal aspect as an illustration here. And maybe you've experienced here, maybe you have not, but maybe you've heard it from other groups. You know, when this year happened, and when we were trying to figure out how do we gather again, how do we gather in a way that honors the Lord, that we continue steadfastly, but yet still take the right precautions. And as elders, as in coming together with the deacons, it was very difficult in understanding the law and understanding the governor's orders. And so we went to the understanding of what's the most loving thing to do? What's the most loving thing to do to love our brother the most in the love of God and for the sake of Christ? And therefore, we did exactly what you're doing right now. We gave guidelines, mask, we sanitize, we wear gloves, exactly what you did. You know, we've had some that have taken offense to that. And that was, I think, surprising to me. It was surprising to me that they would take offense. But it was also surprising that to us as elders, we looked at it and said, where is the love of the brethren? Where is the love of Christ in our gathering? Have we not taught enough of these thoughts? These are powerful words here. Whoever says he is in the light and hates his brother is still in darkness. Whoever loves his brother abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. But whoever hates his brother is in darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he is going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. we started to examine these things, and as an illustration, we've come to the understanding is maybe there are some struggling in their faith. Maybe some in all this quarantine, they haven't been growing in the Lord. And therefore, we said, okay, we've got to ramp up our teaching. We've got to ramp up how do we do fellowship in these times so that others will not fall in their walk of faith. Their abiding, their fellowship with Christ, and therefore to others, their joy in Christ and their joy unto others was not where it needs to be. This is the kind of mentality this letter is sharing. And I challenge you all here. What is your, where is your Christian love? Where is your, this is the test that we're in, right? This is the fallen world we live. Because of sin, we have pandemics, right? Therefore, as believers, how now shall we live? How now shall we live? How will I love my brother? And how shall I walk ever so closely with the Lord and abide with my Father so that I may enjoy his love, his fellowship, and share it with those around me? For us, we've taken precautions as a family. I think we've fellowshipped with more people than we have in other years, but we've taken precautions. We've had one missionary family that had came on furlough. There was no one to receive them. They lovingly set everything up for them, but there was no one to receive them. We went and received them. We enjoyed many weekends with them. The joy, the obedience of Christian love and that comes from the Father himself. My time is going, but I want to share this story with you all. In this portion, verses 7 through 11, I didn't get to every thought here, but he explains a new emphasis from the Old Testament commandment to he says here, a new commandment. Love is the fulfillment of God's law. If you want additional reading, read Romans 13, 8 through 10. There's many verses here. 1 John 3, 14. I just want to read some of these things. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life and abiding in him. A new emphasis on this love. Love thy neighbor. It's not an emotion that you rev up, but a matter of the will led by the Holy Spirit, transforming your desires to others' desires. And it's not a shallow thought. It's a God love. It's a God passion shared with one another. And we understand in these verses, verse 8, a new example. At the same time, it is a new commandment that I'm writing to you, which is true in him and in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. The new example that Jesus Christ came to show to love one another was displayed foremost in Christ. To even love his enemies. A new experience. Verses 9 through 11 continues this thought of light versus darkness. The display of love and fellowship is showing the love of God as well. Let me just close with two stories. One very impactful to us as we were living in North Carolina. You know this, everyone's quarantined. Everyone's in their homes doing what they're doing. I think this year we understood and loved on our neighbors more than we've ever done. When you can't go out, you really connect with your neighbors. And you're always, for me, I'll just talk about me. I'm a little weary of my children going to neighbors' houses. You just got to be careful. You don't know what's in the houses. So my son is very loving to others, and he really goes and talks to the other neighbors. And there was a family on the corner of our court, our road, and two guys were there, Will and Bear, and they're very rough looking. He has dreadlocks, very rough, and you're like, oh, I don't know about my son, you know, being around him, because I know he has a rough lifestyle. He shared with me he's had a rough lifestyle. but that he was very open and loving and always talking to everyone on the block. He really brought out all the neighbors. So you're always a little weary, but you're like, okay, for the sake of love of Christ, where I can have an opportunity to share the gospel, I'm going to keep this avenue open. This bear, the one very rough looking, had dreadlocks. One night, what was it, 3 weeks ago? Or maybe a month ago. A month ago, he had a cardiac arrest on his driveway and died. At night, the whole neighborhood saw it. It was a shock. And it's interesting when you look at how the world responds, and when I'm trying to figure out how I should respond. There were people that were shocked, didn't know what to do. They were just standing outside looking at the workers, the EMT workers, trying to pump his chest and everything. It was all on display. I just knew one thing to do, and I ran in. I grabbed the parents' arms, and I prayed with them. Just prayed with them. And I don't know what moved me to do that, but the love of the Father. I want you to know that there's a Heavenly Father that cares about life, and I just want to pray with you. And that's when we're abiding in Christ, when we have the love of the Father, and I want to challenge you all to check where you are with your faith journey with the Father. When there's the love and the passion to love God, it emanates to everything in joy and fellowship, not only to your fellow brother and in the Lord, but to this lost world, that they may recognize is a Heavenly Father that has done it all for them in the Lord Jesus Christ. Where are we, brethren, in our faith journey and in Christian love? One final thought here. One of my favorite studies, and if you get a chance, read the biography of Robert Chapman. If you've heard that name, you probably know him. A great witness, great testimony, and he's known as the disciple of love, okay? This is a great story. Robert Chapman pastored for decades in Barnstable, England. A local grocer became so upset at Chapman's open-air preaching that he spit on him. For a number of years, the grocer continued to attack and castigate Chapman. One of Chapman's wealthy relatives visited him in Barnstable. The relative was trying to understand why the well-bred Chapman lived in such a modest house in an impoverished neighborhood. As the relative was leaving, he asked if he could buy groceries for Chapman, who gladly agreed, but Chapman insisted that the groceries be purchased at a certain grocer's shop. The grocer, who had so vehemently maligned him. Ignorant of previous interactions between the grocer and Chapman, the relative went as directed. He selected and paid for a large amount of food and then told the grocer to deliver it to R.C. Chapman. The stunned grocer told the visitor that he must have come to the wrong shop. But the visitor explained that Chapman had sent him specifically to that shop. Soon the grocer arrived at Chapman's house, where he broke down in tears and asked for forgiveness. That very day, the grocer yielded his life to Christ. We can hardly imagine what God will do when we remember that we are but sheep, and Jesus exhorted believers to live as such. When we have such an abiding in Christ, such a love for the Father, that love emanates, that love, as in chapter one, it says, that you may experience the joy and the fellowship of not only with this vertical relationship, but it emanates out. So I challenge you all as I close here. In 2021, what will it be? I'm praying that the church will stand bright, like a light that will outshine any of the darkness. I don't know. I don't think it's gonna get any better. But if the church stands on the name of Christ, this world will see something they've never seen before. May that be our life. May that be our testimony as we live abiding intimately with the Heavenly Father. May his name be glorified.